Open our Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12, and I'll read from verse number 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Verse 5, and you have forgotten, note that please, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and will pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning as we gather around your word, speak to us, Lord. Teach us, instruct us, direct us. Reproof of where required. Let us have a baptism, O God, of your word in this short period as we share together. I ask you, anoint the ears and the hearts of your people this morning so that they will receive this word with the same accuracy with which it is going to be delivered. I ask that you anoint me afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit and let this word flow out of me like streams of living water. Lord, let it fall and drop as the rain. Let it distill as the dew and even the dew of the morning. Let us all together, by the reason of your word this morning, be transformed to the image and the likeness of Christ. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name, and everybody say big. Amen. Amen. This morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be teaching on what I've titled, Because True Sons Make Great Dads. And I've read that passage of the scripture, and I want us to just use it as a launch pad, because I'm not going to be teaching this in details and in context, but I just want to use it as a launch pad to catapult us to the areas that I believe the Spirit of the Lord will want us to focus on this morning. It is hard work to be a good dad. Fathers will tell you that. It is a lot of hard work to be a good dad. Unfortunately, there are no programs or there are no courses that have been assigned by the university. Maybe they are developing some these days, but there are, people don't naturally have to go into formal education to learn how to be fathers. Many people that are fathers today just discover that they are one after a while, and then they discover that the responsibility attached to it is so much. And for some time, there is no one, no male figure, that wants to fail as a father. Everyone wants to succeed. Even the people that are not part of the kingdom of God wants to succeed as a father. But by the time you think you have achieved or attained something, you just discover that there are many more that you have not attained as a father, and that makes it more frustrating. When you get to a particular level, as you begin to think that you begin to achieve some part of what it takes to be a father, you just discover from your mates, friends, or colleagues that there are other aspects that you have neglected or that you're not doing so well at. And that is frustrating. And then you begin to buckle up your shoes again and begin to think, how do I make do or how do I make amends in those areas? For some people, they still go ahead and make amends in those areas. And by the time they finish their amendment program on that particular aspect of their fathering of the child or the children in question, they discover that there are other lapses in other areas. And if it continues like that for so long, for a couple of years, people begin to give up. And they say, well, I don't think I can fix all of the problems. I don't think I can do more than I have done. And they just give up. Some don't even make effort in the first instance to make amends in those areas. People just want to live their lives and just enjoy it. And sometimes, because of the kind of information that flow around, there are statements that gives us the impression of how to become a good dad. And I'm not going to spend so much time on describing to you what a good dad looks like. There have been many instances when people will have described a good dad as the person that provides for the family, and that's very important, provision for the family. Some people will say, well, a good dad is the one that protects the family, a protector of the family. Some people will talk about the father, the good father is the one that acts as a playmate, that creates a time to actually engage with the children, engage with them when they're going for their games, and stay around. A good dad, to some people, will be like, you need to make sure that you remember their birthday, and not just remember, buy a gift, and make sure that you are able to sing a happy birthday in the morning. A good dad is somebody that makes time for the children. Some people will say that, well, you don't forget this other aspect, that a good father also has to prepare the child for the future. A good father, rather, is a preparer of children. It prepares them for the future and for the things that will unveil in the course of time. A good father, to some people, is a pathfinder, is the one that is a trailblazer. It goes into an obstruction and clears the path for the children to follow. And on like that. Over the course of the week, you probably, if you're listening to the radio, you probably will have heard a lot of statements made about what a good dad looks like. And most of the time, people don't appreciate that as often as you want to do some of these things, they're just not working. You actually want to do them, but they're just not working. You may start well, and after a few weeks, you just begin to struggle. And some of us don't even have a good figure that we want to look out after. We have not been raised by good fathers, at least to the best of our knowledge. And until we begin to walk in their shoes, then we begin to appreciate them the more that they actually did much more than we thought they actually did. You know, as a teenager, you may just get there and start writing 100 things that my father is not doing well. But by the time you cross the other barrier and you get into and you get married yourself and you start raising kids, then you begin to, my father is a hero. You know, he's a hero because he did this and he did that. Now, but why we struggle with this aspect of wanting to be a great father, and there is nothing wrong about that, why we're struggling to want to be the role model, the superstar father, you know, the tick box, the father that tick all the boxes, why we're struggling to do that, we might be neglecting the weightier matters of the law, according to the scriptures, you know, we might be neglecting something that is more important, that will put our feet in the line and in the part of destiny towards being a great father. And when I talk about great fathers this morning, I'm actually also reflecting on the fact that we have women and we have ladies in the church who are mothers, and some of the things I'm going to say, in fact, most of the things I'm going to say will actually be relevant to you because I want us to just go through, I want us to have a paradigm shift of focusing on the things that I believe the majority of the world system focuses on, that they think is what produces a good father, and focus on something else, completely different. And as we go along, you will discover that it's completely different from what is supposed to be a typical message on a Father's Day service like this. Because there is a lot of struggle men go through. There is a lot of attack on the male child. There is a lot of influence of the enemy that want to snuff life out of male children. And you don't have to look very far. You don't only need to look within the church. You only need to look at the people that you find within the church community. Because as soon as the child is born, the hell breaks loose, wants to destroy the child. either by sickness, death, or whatever thing that he wants to do. But more importantly, we want to the powers of the enemy want to ensure that this one does not bring an influence of a father into a home. Because the structure of the home, according to the scripture, is that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to the man, and the two of them shall become one flesh. The family structure is built on the foundation of the word of God, and if you are able to take out a major player in that foundation, then you will be able to destroy the family, and if you are able to destroy the family, then the society is in chaos. And that's exactly the reflection. I mean, the devil is a master planner when it comes to destroying things. You know, he does not create, he perverts. And that's why he goes out amongst all the creation to want to destroy them. But I believe there is a special assignment upon the male child, literally, because they form the bedrock upon which the family structure is suspended. And like I said, you don't need to look too far. Just look within the church and see the spectrum of people that you find in the church. Take a local body of, for instance, you don't find men in church. They're just not in churches. Why? Because more often than not, the enemy understands that if you can keep them away from church, if they don't understand the principle of the operation of the kingdom of God, then it becomes difficult for their home to function. The dysfunctional families are built on the fact that there is a dysfunctional leader, and the direction is not just being provided. And if the enemy can strike that one out, he has achieved a major aim. And that's why the gospel don't just make sense to many men. It just does not make any sense. I mean, they want to do good. You need to find out from there. They actually want to do the right thing, but it's just not making sense. Why? Because unfortunately, the kingdom of the powers in the here is doing something against their soul, and of course, they don't even know it. All right, that's one of the critical things that is happening in our generation. But rather than giving up on our hands and saying, well, it's all gone, we can't do anything about it, I believe we can do something about it. I believe as people of God called into this body, we can do something about it. And what we can do about it is not to focus on so much of the rhetorics that goes on in the world as to how to make a great dad. But we focus more on what the scripture describes as the process of churning out great men and great women, and that's what I want us to focus on this morning. I mean, let's leave aside for a moment, and I'm not discarding them at all. The other rhetorics of the fact that a father creates time for his children, great. A father finds time to play with them and go to the park with them, fine, great. A father finds time to buy them things. And supplies the things in the home. Fine, as like my wife said this morning, she said she wouldn't remember the last time I went to buy stuff for myself, and then they are looking great. We joked about that a lot, you know. My kids would come into my wardrobe and say, "Daddy, I've seen you wear this thing. You wear this thing. You can't you just go out and buy some things, you know?" I said, "Well, it's not like you know." And then they bring stuff from me. Okay, we went to the supermarket. Or we went to the shops to buy this. Daddy, you know, it's looking beautiful, but you know what? It's with your money. You know. let's leave aside all those ones. And I'm not saying that so that you can think I'm a superstar, Dad, because there are areas that I struggle with. There are areas of fathering that I just struggle with it. Not because they're not there, but they're not probably there to the extent to which I wish they were there. You know, and men are like that, you know, all over the world, struggling with certain aspects and certain areas of their life. But I want us to focus more on the way to actually churn out fathers and raise people that are strong and mighty for the Lord Jesus. And that's not just restricted to men, it's also across the board. And for one reason, for one moment, I don't want the women in this house to lose sight of the fact that God is a restorer. God is a restorer. If you've got a male figure in your life and you think at the moment that he's far away from understanding the principles of the kingdom and you are almost giving up, I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. What the enemy wants you to do is to throw out and say, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I give up. Don't give up. Don't give up because the battle that we are in is a very fierce one and whosoever blinks first loses. And you don't blink. Keep your eyes open because God is at work. God is mightily at work. And that's just to throw in that side. Now, the passage that we have read tells us something very important. There is a particular word that you will see coming up again and again and again in that passage. And that's the word chasten. Chasten. Chastened. The chastisement in some translation. You find that in verse 5. You find that in verse 6. You find that in verse 7, verse 8. Skip verse 9. Go to verse 10. You find it in verse 11 of the passage we have read. What does it mean to chasten? Chasten is an old English word that actually is best described by the word discipline. And I'm sure that some of your translations will have that word, discipline. Now, because that word is actually from a Greek word called paideia, P-I-D-E-A-H, P-I-D-E-A-H. And it means to discipline. It means to do whatever thing you can do to preserve a soul. It means to do anything to channel a soul in the right direction. When we're talking about chasing, most of the time what comes to our mind is punishment. But that actual word describes discipline. It describes discipline. Now, the reason why I'm going into this is because I want us to begin to more focus on being a son to our Heavenly Father and see how much that is going to impact on us being the father that we want to become. As long as we begin to focus on us being a son to God, as long as we focus more on us being a daughter to God, then we begin to see certain things take place in our lives that will make us to be better fathers and better mothers. And that is that's why I said we're using this as a launch pad to discussing what I believe is so very much crucial. Now, the interesting thing about this is the fact that when you talk about discipline, you're talking about a structure of events or things that have been put in place to cut to size so that the person or the figure in question can fit in into a particular mold that have been created. It may be by the society, it may be by whatever thing. You're trying to channel the person into a particular direction. That's the word discipline. And there's something very important that he said in this passage. He said in verse 11, he said, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful." No discipline seems to be joyful in present. It's very painful. In other words, the design of God to make us sons and daughters, and when I say sons, I please make sure that you make it applicable to yourself because it's not a gender thing. It's a spiritual status that we are attained to, and I will tell you in a moment how we get there. The process of turning out sons is as a result of making discipline to be part of the process. In fact, the entire process is anchored on discipline. Now, and God more and more uses this to chasten us, to chisel us out so that we can fit into his program for our life and so that we can be true sons and true daughters. Then he will be able to use us as father figures to our natural children. And that's very crucial because as long as we begin to chase after what it means to be a good dad as presented to us by the world, then we're going to be chasing shadows. Because they don't even know they have an idea of what the hand looks like, but they don't understand what the process entails. So what they will be telling you is the Hollywood kind of a father as portrayed in movies. The laughter, the giggling in the living room, the going together into the park, the sharing time together, the father coming home with roses, with the good things, and sharing with the children, and the children and the father going to holidays and staying somewhere in Hawaii and having time together. And those things are great, they are good, but those are the end product of a section of what it means to father a home, father the children. Now, what does it entail to get into the process before the end result comes up? And that's why we get so frustrated, because you try to spend time. For instance, you've just read that you need to spend time with your children, and you've started very well the first week, the second week, the third week. It's packing up. By the fourth week, it's already gone. And it's going to be part of your New Year resolution for the next year, because there is a struggling with it. And the struggling is because these things need spiritual energy. They need the source to sustain them, need spiritual wealth of backing that we cannot get from any other way except by actually becoming sons to our Heavenly Father. So the beauty of it is, the more and more we begin to become sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, the more and more it becomes easy for us to sustain the process of actually fathering our natural children the way we desire and the way we have seen in the Word. But if we don't have that spiritual stamina, that spiritual power, that spiritual energy from within, we may be able to start it, but we won't be able to sustain it. And that's why we keep struggling from time to time. We keep struggling. You know, some people have relegated the role of fathers in the house to just provider. And as far as provision is as very important, is very important to the home. I mean, the home needs to be provided for. But there are other aspects. There are other areas, like I've just mentioned a short while ago, that the father figure is expected in the house. For instance, as a defender, and when I'm talking about defending, I'm not talking about defending because the other boys they are bullying your child or your children. I'm not talking about the bully that takes place in school. I'm not talking about an attacker coming from outside. Of course, those ones are part of it. But I'm talking about defending their souls. Standing at the gate and opening the door when the enemy knocks. You know, there are some homes, you know, spiritually speaking, when the enemy knocks, it's the father that takes to the hill first. Because there is no spiritual stamina to defend them. And that's why the enemy can come easily and pick whosoever he wills and go. Sometimes take coffee before leaving. You know, because there is no defender of the home. There is no defender. There is no one to stand and open the door and say, yes, I'm here. My name is Mr. So-so, and so can I help you? You know, a few days ago, I was in the house, and somebody came, and this guy has been moving around, walking around, and I was suspicious of what was going on. So he came around and he asked me what was the time. I just came in from came from work, and then he said what was the time, and he was holding a phone. And my understanding is, what sort of phone are you holding? Because I understand that there is always time on phone, except something is wrong with your phone. You know, maybe the battery was out or whatever. And I told him the time. And then he went. And after about 15 minutes, he came knocking at the door again. And then I said, I came out. And what's the problem? He said, I'm just asking for the time. I just told you 15 minutes ago. Just add 15 minutes or 10 minutes to the time I told you before. You know, and then you will know the time. And then he went. And he was just moving around. He was holding some things. And I became angry in this. You know, when you become angry in the spirit, something just packs in your brain. What's going on here? You know? And then I was doing my business, and then he came and he knocked at the door. And I opened the door. I said, look, friend, look here. I don't want to tell you what I said. But I made it sure that this place is not a place you can just come and go anyhow. Why? Because there is a defender here. I am here to defend this house. The interesting thing is, it's not even the house where I normally live. It's the house that my company provides for me. So there are no kids in the house. But there are things in the house that are important as well. You know? So in this place, you don't come. All right? And he said, okay. I said, I need to see you go now. And he said, okay. I said, no. It's not okay. I need to see you move. And then I had to actually escort him away from that place. And then I saw him no more. Why? Because there was a defender in the house. Now, translate that into the realm of the spirit. When the enemy will come knocking at the door and will want to snatch a child, a boy or a girl, or whoever in the house, and connect them with things that destroy children, when he knows that because there is somebody to confront first before you take the boy. In the realm of the spirit, there is somebody to confront first before you take the girl. The Bible says there is no one that comes into a strong man's house except if he first binds him. You have to succeed in binding the man and binding the one defending the house to take his children.
But when the man in the house is the one that runs for cover, when the enemy knocks, then there is the disaster. And that's why it is important, first and foremost, to understand how we, as people of God, begin to become children, sons of God, first, before we can succeed in becoming a father to our home, natural home. It's important. It's important. If we fail in coming to terms with our sonship with God, then there is going to be crisis in defending our home, in providing for the home, in sustaining the home, in helping, in trailblazing for the home, in securing a future and a direction for them. And that's why many men many people that are called fathers, they're just called fathers because they have advancement of age. You know, it's not an advancement of character. It's not an advancement of spiritual maturity. It's just an advancement of age. That's telling me I should round up. I've not even started. All right. Okay. Praise God. All right. We'll just start now. Now, so it is important for us to understand that we need to engage first with discipline. Engage first with discipline. And when we engage first with discipline, we are able to be made sons. Now, listen to this. In the natural, sons are called sons when they are given birth to. Oh, that's my son. Even when he's age one or age two, that's my son, you know. But in the spiritual, sons are called sons when they engage with discipline. In the spiritual, at the point of engagement with the discipline and forming character, that's the time that they are called sons. They're not called sons because they have the male features. They are called sons because they have engaged with discipline and they have attained to something. That passage, and I will read it to you. It said in verse 7, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" And I will tell you, if you ask me, I will tell you there are many sons. Somebody will say, but there are many sons that their father does not discipline. But as far as the Bible and the world is concerned, as far as God is concerned in the realm of the spirit, those are not sons. Because why? They have not engaged with discipline. Anyone that has not engaged with discipline as a man, as a woman, is not considered as a son in the respect of character building and of maturity. Yeah. So when we were born, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Of course, we become children of God. We were children of God. But sonship is attained by engaging with discipline and building spiritual character. And the maturity that comes with it is what proclaims us to be sons, not the fact that we're born into the kingdom. So a man that is born again today is not considered in this context as a son. Why? Because he does not have the spiritual capability to attain and to embark on some things, you know. So he's not considered a son. Now, briefly, let me just tie it up with what I want to talk about. Now, there are things in this kingdom. And when I talk about this kingdom, I'm talking about the church, that we call the discipline of the faith. These are what we call spiritual disciplines. They are spiritual disciplines. And they are things that are so simple. By the time I mention them, you will say, oh, I've heard that a million times. But until we engage in them, we don't build spiritual capability that propels us to being sons in the kingdom. And because we are not sons in the kingdom, then we fail in our ability to become the mother to those children, to become the father to those children. Why? Because we need spiritual energy to actually function as human fathers and mothers. We need spiritual energy to father and to mother children. And that's the key thing that is missing in our world, because people think that they can father and mother children just by providing for them. Oh, the latest toy is out. Take your dress. Take your school. I pay for it. That's just a section of it. That's just a section of it. The most important part of it is providing spiritual cover for the children. And if you don't have that spiritual connection as a son to the Father, Father God, then we cannot provide the spiritual cover for the children, and therefore we'll begin to fail in other areas. Now, quickly, what's the first discipline that you have heard of in this kingdom? It's called the discipline of prayer. It's a discipline. You know why? The Bible says no chastening of the present seems easy. The right word says no chastening seems to be joyful. I will tell you the reason why people don't pray, and I believe that many of us have heard about prayer before. Who has not heard about prayer before here? But maybe we have not linked into a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual discipline. And why do we call it a discipline? Because we don't go into it we don't intuitively go into it. It's not something I just want to be praying every day. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It's not our nature, naturally. No. And it's so important as a discipline, because if we fail at that level, then every other thing we struggle with it. Every other thing. And the common excuses are this: I don't have time. I don't have time. It's one of the commonest reasons why people don't pray. Number two reasons why people don't pray: I don't know how. I don't even know how to start. How do you guys pray? That's number two reason. Number three, and there are many others: it's not even fun. It's not even fun. Now, let me answer the first question. I don't have time. Let me ask you. And this is not a comparison between prayer and these other things that I'm going to ask you. Do you have time to take your bath in the morning? Maybe not in the morning, maybe in the evening for some people. All right. Do you have time to maybe brush your teeth? Okay. Do you have time to prepare your meal or to at least go and buy something? Now, if you have time for those things, and they are not in any way at the same platform with prayer, I'm just saying that if you have enough time for them, then you have enough time for prayer. Now, why? Because the prayer that we're talking about as a discipline, we're not talking about prayers for hours. We're just talking about prioritizing the hour of the period of prayer and making it consistent, because that's one of the things that happen with discipline. It has to be consistent. Somebody says, you don't understand, Pastor. The only time I have is just 5-10 minutes. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's where the discipline of prayer can start. So as a home, for instance, I mean, everybody rushes out in the morning. But as a spiritual discipline, the father or the mother calls everybody, let us pray. And it's just about 5 minutes, but they do that consistently. Consistently. You know what's happening? There is a discipline that is being engaged upon, and this discipline is building a character in everyone that is involved. And that's something that we're missing out. We're waiting until we have the 2 hours and the 3 hours, but we don't always have that. And don't let me prophesy that we may not always have that by the reason of the way things are going. It's getting easier to have access to things on your phone, but somehow the time is not just there. I grew up at a time when people have to go to the bank in my particular place of the world where I grew up, where people have to go to the bank and line up for hours before they access their money. Now you can literally on your phone access money, put it here, out, do this, and write on your phone and just control money. And I find that cool, you know, because I can just do this and then money will appear, you know, and then money will disappear. I prefer the appearance of the money anyway, you know. And you can just do that without having to go anywhere. But you know what I discovered? That still does not make more time available to do more things that I want to do. I still have to prioritize those things I desire to do. And that's where prayer is very important. It's not the longest hours that you pray. By the grace of God, I've prayed long hours before. I mean, I know, but it's not something I do every day. There was a time years ago when I went into a particular place, and I think I started around 10, and I finished up around 5 o'clock or so in the morning, praying. Don't ask me what I prayed for about, because I can't even remember the details. But that's not what you do every day. That's not what I even do every month. All right? But there is supposed to be a discipline of prayer. A man or a woman that has lost out of that discipline has lost out of his position in the house, in the home, rather. He has lost out in the position of the home already. He has lost out in his covering, in his ability to support spiritually the home already. And that's why we have confusion and chaos. Because people will not just choose the 5 minutes and engage with God in prayer and bring their home and their family together in prayer and connect them with their father that can sustain. You know, a few weeks ago, we started in our family a study of the, of course, we always study the Bible, you know, various aspects of the Bible. And I said, girls, it appears you don't even seem to know so much about some areas in the Bible. And let's just engage in this. Let's just do a chapter by chapter, a chapter a day, studying of the book of Samuel. And it's amazing how we have got so much from the book of Samuel, just sitting together with the kids and just sharing from God's word. And some of these things just come naturally. It just makes life easy for you because you are able from that instance to engage your children with their future without you struggling with it, because the word of God is going to sustain their future when they get there. Don't let me run ahead of myself, but I'm talking about prayer now. People of God, it is important for us to engage in that discipline. Why? Because that discipline makes us to become sons. And if we become sons and daughters of God, then it becomes easier for us to be able to manage our home in the most effective way. And next week, by the grace of God, I'm going to continue on this. And I believe that it's going to be of tremendous help for us to understand and learn the disciplines of the community of faith and how we need to engage with it to become the true father and the true mother that God intends for us to do, to become. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, because more and more you are making us appreciate and understand that we don't need to chase after the shadows. For us to become the true father for our children and to become the true mother for our children, we need to become sons and daughters to you first. To you first. Father, I pray for myself and I pray for my brethren this morning. In our areas of struggle, that Lord, you will make us to see and appreciate the place of engaging with you in spiritual discipline first in our lives, and that we may be able to appreciate the position of spiritual discipline as the source, as the contact point for the spiritual energy that is needed for the home. I just pray for grace for all of us as we embark on this journey together, and I pray for help for all of us, especially those of us that are struggling in one area or the other. Let help come from above. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.